the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Today we celebrate the elevation of the precious and life-giving cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Once again, the Church brings to our remembrance this instrument of death and suffering that has now become the instrument of life, eternal life, no less. The mystery of mysteries is that the second person of the Godhead, our Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, willfully, volitionally took up this cross. And when he had many opportunities to avoid the cross that was that he necessarily must bear if we were to be saved, he turned away from all of those opportunities of escape, because he knew really that those were not opportunities of escape. This world, the evil one, the prince of evil, the prince of death, offered him all the kingdoms of this world and tempted him. He would have nothing of it. Many, many times he could have avoided taking up his cross. And yet he did so, as I think St. Paul writes, and maybe in Philippians, where I'm not sure about that reference. He writes, for the joy set before him, he took up that cross. For the joy he had that he could deliver you from sin, from death, from the curse of the evil one. Today we're reminded once again that if we wish to live eternally, we must be willing to die to sin. The cross of Christ is life for us. The world sees it as foolishness. And the reason the world sees it as foolishness is because the world, those in the world, do not have a vision of eternal life, of the kingdom of God. But for those of us who have, by the grace of God, embarked on the path of salvation, the path of repentance, drawing near to the Holy Trinity, working out our salvation in fear and trembling, we know that we must take up our cross. We're called to put off the old man and put on the new man. And it's not as simple as Clark Kent and Superman. It's a lifelong process of being brutally honest with oneself before God and being willing to change, being willing to become like Christ, to be conformed, as Romans 8:29, I believe, says, as St. Paul writes, to become conformed to the image of Christ, to be transformed, and to be made by adoption and the grace and mercy of God reconciled to him. St. Gregory Palamas writes, to follow Christ means to live according to his gospel and to give proof of every virtue and of true piety. The fact that anyone wishing to follow him must deny himself and take up his cross means he must not spare himself when the moment comes, but be ready to die a dishonorable death for the sake of virtue and the truth of holy doctrines. Though it be a great and marvelous thing for someone to deny himself and surrender himself to extreme dishonor and death, it is not contrary to reason. When earthly kings go to war, they do not let people follow them who are not prepared to die for them. So it is not surprising that the King of Heaven, who came to live on earth according to his promise, should seek such people as his followers in his attack upon the common enemy of the human race. Earthly kings can neither revive those killed in war nor reward them fittingly for bearing the brunt of the battle. What could someone who is no longer alive receive from them? But in the Lord there is hope even for those who have died, if their death was in defense of what is sacred. To his followers who were daring in battle, the Lord gives the reward of eternal life. So we glory in this cross, this instrument of death and suffering. We glory in it. We are not naive. We know it's more than just a piece of jewelry. This speaks of the precious and life-giving cross, but the cross has to work on us. I know you probably get tired of me talking about athletics. It's the only thing I know anything about, I guess. But I've never one time had any of the coaches that I had, when I would see them in adult life, apologize to me for what they put me through. They weren't trying to kill me. I thought they were at the time, maybe. They were trying to make me strong so I could survive. And I wouldn't even think of asking them to apologize. You know, you were such a meanie, making me run all those wind sprints and all this other stuff that happened. That's just in this trivial, vainglorious world. The God who made you gives you a cross. You got to trust Him. You got to trust that your best interest is all He cares about. And our capacity to understand what is best for us, what is good for us, is extremely limited because we are fallen. But He loves us and He is trying to redeem us. So when suffering comes our way, let us see that suffering. Let us wed that suffering to the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, who for the joy set before Him gladly took His up. May we do the same. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen.